all stand together. Come on, let's begin just to thank God for what he has done so far. Come on, put your hands together one more time. That was so powerful. And we have one more to go. We have a finale, so we just want you to get ready for what's going to happen. I want to just thank you. How many have enjoyed Emmanuel, God with us? Well, I want to take just a few minutes and try to bring everything together, and then we're going to get ready for our finale. But I have to also just throw in there, this is not the end, in though it may end this production. Tomorrow night, we are right back here at 7 o'clock for Christmas Eve service. So we will sing, we will be together, we'll take communion here at 7 p.m. And we always want you to know that we're never alone here. We have people are watching, as you saw on the screen, from all over the world. Can I just welcome all those that are watching from Zambia's live with us, Nigeria. We welcome Togo and Malaysia. We say hello to South Korea and Hong Kong and New Zealand. We welcome our friends from Europe, the United Kingdom, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, and France. We say hello to Portugal. We say hello to Netherlands, Hungary, Finland, Canada, Mexico, Haiti, Jamaica. Live with us is Trinidad and Tobago, Barbados, Montserrat. We say hello to Guatemala, St. Kitts and Nevis, Panama, Grenada, Costa Rica, Suriname, Venezuela, Peru, Uruguay, Colombia, Brazil, Bolivia, Dominican Republic, and the Puerto Rico. We say hello to all of you. 34 nations, 33 states. We also welcome, I know most of the colleges are out on break, but we do have some that tune in. We say hello to Virginia Tech. We welcome you that are watching all the way from there. I want to pray in these next few moments as we begin to tie everything together that God would do something special. Father, thank you for what you're doing here. Lord, I pray in these next few moments, I pray open up the hearts for the greatest gift that was ever given, which is Jesus Christ. Let it not just be something or someone sung about or even a day that we just commemorate. Let it be a life that is transformed by Jesus Christ today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated just for the next few moments. It was Christmas Eve here in New York City just a few years ago, and the courts were in session. And I was reading about a Christmas season court setting, and the judge, they said, here in New York City was in a cheerful mood. And as the first defendant stood before him, the judge said, "What are you charged with?" And the defendant said, "Doing my Christmas shopping early, Your Honor." Well, he said, "That certainly is a crime, isn't a crime. How early were you doing the shopping?" He said, "Before the store opened." Christmas started illegally for this gentleman. But Christmas started even earlier in heaven when God had a plan to send his son 2,000 years ago. Christmas started in the heart of God. Christmas started before the world began. The first Christmas giver was God, and the first Christmas present was his son. This is what Christmas is all about. It is something that Cindy and I have even tried to raise our children to always remember. We have been pretty diligent with our four children who are now between the ages of 18 and 25 to speak to them about the meaning of Christmas, to speak to them about God being the first giver and Jesus being the first gift. And I used to tell them all the time, I know some parents would probably get angry with me, but I would tell them all the time that Santa didn't bring those presents, we did. That is our money that we spent on those. Any parents with me on that? I just don't want Santa to get any credit. I remember our youngest one, Lauren, who is now 18 years old, but I think she slipped under the radar when we talked about the meaning of Christmas. And I just remember asking her, I said, "Lauren, I have to just ask you, do you believe in Santa?" She said, "What? Of course. I saw six of them today." So she looked at me like, "Who do you think that guy in the red suit was?" And at that moment, I had to reintroduce what is Christmas. As we've talked about, Christmas is when God came down the stairs of heaven with a baby in his arms. The Bible describes that moment on that silent night, on that holy night. The Bible describes that moment, that gift, as an indescribable gift. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians 9:15, when the Apostle Paul pauses his writing in the book of 2 Corinthians and just simply says these words. After he has been writing and writing, he just had to pause and say, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts." Indescribable. Indescribable gift. I have to tell you, when I read those words, I just saw Paul all overwhelmed, the Apostle Paul overwhelmed by what God gave. No one could have given a better gift than God himself. As I began to think about that, there is what Paul describes as indescribable gifts, and then there is what I did my first 2 years of marriage called an unbelievable gifts. My wife and I have been married for 29 years, and I learned, well, thank you. And I've learned from the first two Christmases what not to give to your wife. Christmas number one, I guess she's laughing already. I thought I did great. We're married, and I gave her, she opened it up, a giant box, and she opened it up, and I bought her a dishwasher. How many would say that is not a good thing to get for your wife? Then I was gonna get it right. In year two, I bought her luggage. And I'm telling you, once again, it was not just indescribable, it was unbelievable. And because of her graciousness, I got it right in the last 27 years by figuring out what to do. God knew what we needed. God knew what would be indescribable. And God's gift of his son was perfect. If our greatest need would have been information, God would have sent us a teacher. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. And if our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a savior. Thank God for an indescribable gift. But I have to tell you, as I was thinking about this tonight, as I knew we were finishing, I kept thinking about that incredible gift. Why is God's gift perfect? I thought of two things. Number one, it's easily accessible. And number two, I'll explain this one. Batteries are included. I'll explain that in a second. Number one, it's so hard to open gifts today. Anybody ever realize that? Whether it's toys, clothes, or electronics, they are behind plastic shields. They are connected to chains that someone has to undo. They have security tags on them. Secret sensors, even those that blow up, die if you try to remove it. There's ones that set off alarms as you're leaving the store while you're telling everyone that you're not a thief. It's the cashier's fault while the alarm went off. You can't even buy shaving cream at Duane Reade without getting through the security, and it's not even packaging anymore. It's Fort Knox. Some need screwdrivers. I remember buying my daughters when they were young, buying them a doll. You need a screwdriver just to get the hair out of the package. And some had 2,000 plastic twisty ties on just the legs of a doll. And I was going, who's stealing these things? Who's taking them? And how valuable are they? Nothing is worse than to get a gift that you can't even open up. But one thing God did was make his gift easy. His son and the gift of salvation. Thank God for that. I kept asking the question, how easy is it? I know some of you may even begin to cringe a little bit at this, but I'm telling you, this is why this is so important to understand. Atheist turned Christian C.S. Lewis said these words, "Christ offers something for nothing. He even offers everything for nothing. In a sense, the whole Christian life consists in accepting that very remarkable offer. But the difficulty is to reach the point of recognizing that all we have done and can do is nothing. It's all God that has done this for us. It is us that don't deserve it, but God who has given everything. Think of these words, believe on Jesus and you shall be saved. That's Acts 16:31. That's Romans 10:9. It makes believing the only thing that stands between you and eternity. Think of it, the ABCs of salvation that we talk about every single Sunday. And for some, this may be new to you. But we talk about it starts with admitting that we're sinners, we're broken on the inside, that we can't fix ourselves, that we have a condition called sin. That can't be fixed with a prescription, a program. It can't be fixed with promises. There's not a priest or a pastor that can fix it. Only one person can fix it, and that's God himself. 2,000 years ago, he would send his son, which would lead us to the B word, which is believe. Believe that God sent his son to fix that sinful condition. It was the young ladies that were out here on that bus bench waiting for their bus that said the words, he would die the death we were supposed to die, live the life we couldn't live, and give us a reward that we don't deserve, which is forgiveness and eternity. And C, confessing him as Lord. You're in charge of my life. You're the one that gets everything. You don't just get Sundays. Jesus didn't come 2,000 years ago so he can get you on Sundays for 2 hours. He didn't die on a cross to go, finally, they're sitting in a seat on Sunday. No, he died 2,000 years ago, not to get us to church, but to get us to heaven, to get us to eternity, to get us to forever. No church, starting with this one, or organization can change you. It is believing on Jesus, and God then changes us from the inside out. To open God's gift is by simply believing that you need a Savior, you need forgiveness of your sins. One thing God did was to make that gift easy, but we have complicated it. Every time as you read the Bible, as I read the Bible, one of the things that stands out to me is this, is that the Bible could describe how to be saved, how to be born again. Don't miss this, in one sentence. One sentence. Anybody else that begins to add to that, it becomes complicated. Listen to it. Believe on the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in Acts 16:31, and you will be what? Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be what? It doesn't get simpler than that. If you walk down here to Madison Square Garden, considered to be the most famous arena in the world, sometimes you may find people on the streets selling tickets that they have so you can get in there. But what they do is they call it ticket scalping, which begins to add a little extra to the tickets. They add a little bit more so they can begin to make money. You add any more than believe, you're scalping the way into heaven. You don't get there by saying, I took communion, or I'm a good person, or I've done this thing, or my parents were religious, or I take care of my family. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I haven't killed anyone. And I always tell them, continue on that path. But to think that that ticket gets you to heaven is scalping it. It's adding something that God never said. Here's my question to you. This is the thing that's just amazing to me, because people will think so many times that I've got to do this to get to heaven. I've got to do this. I've got to sell this, do this, be this. I've got to stop this. Here's the good news. You don't get good and come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and he makes you good. That's the way it is. See, people are going to get really upset with me. I want you to listen to this. Listen carefully, because this is so important. People always ask me, do I need to stop cursing, gambling, smoking to become a Christian? Some people ask me, do I need to stop smoking to go to heaven? I said, no, you'll just get there earlier. But just understand something. If stopping something would make you a Christian, we'd just scalp the ticket. Oh, I know the religious people are gonna be upset because you want me to put more tithes on this. You want me to put some electronic things. You wanna make the gift a little bit more complicated. But I can't if the Bible says, believe and you shall be saved. I wish I can. But here's the good news. God loves you just the way you are. Oh, don't stop, because I know all the religious people are very upset right now. Here it comes. And because he loves you the way you are, he refuses to leave you the way you are. Here's my question. What does your heart and that stable where Christ was born have in common? Here it is. Number one, both places are unworthy of a king. A king in a stable and a king in my heart. What does a stable in my heart have in common? Nobody cleaned up the stable before they arrived. What does a heart and a stable have in common? Both places are chosen by God for the birth of his son. So none of us can boast that it was about us. He chose you. He loves you today. I was reading the story of a church and a minister that found out that one of their widows, whose husband died, didn't leave very much. It was a family that was just getting by, and after her husband died, she would still attend church, and then they didn't see her anymore, and they found out that she couldn't pay rent. She was literally three, four, and she was getting 5 months behind, and she was about to get evicted with nowhere to go. And the church, what an amazing job they did. They went and they gathered up a collection, and the pastor and one of the other staff members showed up, and they began knocking on this woman's apartment, and they knew she was in there, but she wouldn't answer the door. They kept knocking and knocking and knocking, and somehow they got in and began to speak to her and said, why wouldn't you answer the door? And this is what she said. She said, I thought it was the man coming to ask me for money and for the rent. She didn't even realize that the knock on the door was someone to give her a gift, to say, you can stay. This is a gift that you didn't even have to pay for. Here's the good news. God is knocking on your heart today, not asking for rent, but coming with a gift to say, you can have eternal life today. Hallelujah. And if you accept that gift, let me tell you the second thing that happens is batteries today in our gifts are never included. But in God's gift, you get the batteries. Let me explain. I was reading some kids' letters to Santa just the other day, and I was just laughing at what some of them wrote. One child wrote in their own handwriting. Some child just put, I was reading their letter to Santa, Dear Santa, here is the website, and she wrote down all the websites that you can get her presents from. One girl was too lazy to write her list. She said, Dear Santa, please text my dad. He has my whole list. One very crude young man, or I would say even at this one maybe even smart, he said, you better send a pony this year or there will be consequences. But I think the one that was most telling to me said, Dear Santa, when you bring the presents, don't forget the batteries. Remotes don't work on PlayStations without batteries. Drones don't fly without batteries. Robots can't walk. Toy planes won't get off the ground. Toy cars can't drive. Dolls won't move or talk. They need power. When your children open up their gifts, let me just help you. You better have batteries taped to the box. That's why the cashiers always ask us, do you need batteries? And why do you think they put those Duracells right at the counter? And there are always one or two extra batteries in there that you're paying for more than even the thing that you're buying it for. Understand this. Those who try to see the message of Christmas as nothing more than a nice story about the birth of a nice little baby who grew up in a nice village, who said some nice things, and we could all learn to be nice, are settling for a gift that looks good, but it just doesn't work because there's no batteries there. Don't settle for a nice story when you can have a Savior with power. You can have a Savior with all the power. Listen to me. If Christmas is just a holiday to you, then it's a present without power. This baby in a manger is the Son of God. This baby is God's gift. This baby would grow up to die for your sins. That baby that would grow up would be what we called, as we sang it today, omnipotent, all power. That child came with power. When you get that Jesus, that child in your life, you get the batteries, you get the power. Here's what it says. For as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God gave you a gift called salvation, and then he gave you power to face every single day of your life. He didn't just say, here's a gift. He said, here's a gift that will take you all the way to eternity. Here's a gift that will get you through your hardest days. Here's a gift that will get you through your darkest situations. And here's a gift that can bring joy when everybody else around you is worried and depressed and they're wondering what happened. I got a gift, not just Jesus. I got power when Jesus came into my life. Hallelujah. So let me finish with this today. Unwrapping is easy. You enter a relationship with God not by doing, but by believing. And second, batteries are included with God's gift. You get the gift of salvation and the power source to live every single day. Can I just tell you, when Christ comes in and changes you from the inside out, you don't get church, you don't get a religion, you get power. You get a power to live each day. They say today that 40% of the gifts that you are going to give are going to be gift cards. I bought 2 yesterday. And what's amazing, it says, now the new statistic is almost half of all the people who have a gift card have never used it. And they have close to $300, over $250 in unused gift cards in their house. Let me add this last part, somewhere. I knew he had a gift card to this. I knew there was something to this. And how many find out that after you go to that restaurant, then you find the gift card? A gift given and a gift never used, a gift given and a gift never cashed in, a gift that's given and just pushed to the side is what happens as God 2,000 years ago gave us a gift from heaven, his son. The Son of God. He didn't give us, listen, those watching around the country and around the world, those in the annex, this is so important. He didn't come 2,000 years ago to give us a holiday. He came to give us life. He came to give us life today. That's what he's come to do. He didn't come 2,000 years ago to give a religion. He didn't come 2,000 years ago so one day a year we can sing these kind of songs. He came to change us. He came to fix my sinful condition. I receive this gift by receiving Christ in my heart. It's called being born again. It's a change that comes from the inside out. Born again. Not my word, it's Jesus' words. He said, no man can see the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. It's not a Times Square church word. It's not a Protestant word. It's not a Catholic word. It's a Jesus word. Just as you had a first birth, what does born again mean? Just as you had a first birth physically, most in a hospital, you need a second birth spiritually. That can happen right here tonight. December 23rd can be your spiritual birth date. If I was to ask you, when is your birthday? Many of you would just go, on this day. If I was to ask you, when is your spiritual birthday? Or are you going to heaven? I hope so. I want to. Today, you can receive heaven's birth certificate. Cash in the gift that was given to begin to get the power, the batteries included, the gift by believing. As I told you, it's as simple as ABC. It's admitting we're sinners. I need a Savior. I need forgiveness. B, believing that God came 2,000 years ago to fix my sinful condition. And by believing on Him, the gift card gets cashed in. And C, confessing Him as Lord. When I confess Him as Lord, this is God then stepping into my life saying, now I'm in charge. I don't just want Sundays. I want every single day. And it's God beginning to love me so much He won't leave me in that sinful condition. When Jesus died on the cross, when Jesus came as a baby and died on the cross, it wasn't at that moment that we were fixed. It was at that moment we were given a gift card. It was at that moment He goes, there's a gift for you. To look at a tree and see unopened presents, to see a gift card unused, it doesn't work. To see a baby in a manger, a man dying on a cross in an empty tomb without saying, I want you to change me from the inside out, that's where born again starts. That's the invitation. That's the invitation. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just one moment? We're gonna pray one last prayer. For those that are watching in the annex, I was just told that the annex is full. Couldn't get into the building, and so you're next door watching on those four or five screens that are over there, and we want you to be just as much part as the person that's sitting in this sanctuary. For those that are watching from our Jersey campus, those that are watching around the country and around the world, this is the cash-in moment. This is the gift card moment. This is not saying thank you and throwing it in a drawer and never using it again. This is the moment where it all changes. And I have to be so careful because I don't want to scalp tickets to heaven. I can't scalp them by adding something else to it. You got to come to this church to get to heaven. You got to do this. You got to stop this. You got to continue to come here every day. No. Those are adding to what the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you can be saved. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead and you will be saved. What else can you scalp from that? My religious part of me wants to add a whole bunch, but I'm not in charge of the tickets. God gave the gifts. He made it easy. And something in us wants to add a whole bunch of twisty ties and screws and hold that thing in to go, do you really want? And God made it as simple as He can be. And then He says, if you receive my gifts, I'll give you the power to change. I'll give you the power to face another day. I'll give you the power to face whatever comes your way. That's the most amazing thing. He makes it accessible and He gives it with power. Let me say that again. His gift is accessible and His gift has power. But it's just a gift card, unused, if you don't do anything with it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you one question. Here's how you cash it in. Answer the question, have you been born again? Because that's the moment, that's where it all changes. That's the gift. That's the power. How does that happen, Pastor Tim? Those that are here, balcony, main floor, watching around the country and around the world, those in our annex at different campuses, let me just say this to you. If you're here, if you're watching, you hear my voice. Maybe you've been ticket scalped to get to heaven. Yeah, you got to get baptized. You got to have communion. You got to have this label. You got to be part of this religious group or this denomination. Here's the good news. You don't even have to be part of Times Square Church, but you do have to believe in Jesus, that resurrection. And some people want to begin to say, that's just easy believing. I can't make it any more than what the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Said that to a jailer in Philippi. Spoke to the most powerful city in the world, Rome, and said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You know what I have to do? I have to trust God enough that he knows what to do with this gift of salvation more than what me and religious people will try to add to it. No ticket scalping. We give it to God. We take it as simply as it says. If you're here tonight and say, Pastor Tim, tonight I want to cash in that gift. I want Christ in my life. Batteries included. I want the gift. I want to cash in that gift of forgiveness. I want to know today that my name is written in heaven. That if I was to die today, I'm going to heaven. And number two, not just for heaven, but I want to know I've got God's power, John 1:12, to face every single day. This is my day. Swipe the card. I want him in my life. No unused gift from heaven is going to be ever presented to me and I don't do anything. Today, tonight is your second birthday. Tonight is that night. Those that are watching, those that are listening, in about 30 seconds, I just want to pray a simple born-again prayer. That's the swipe moment. That's the moment we say, I want him in my life. If that's you tonight and saying, Pastor Tim, when you pray that born-again prayer, count me in. I want to be part of that. Amen. We are along with that voice that says, I want in. If that's you tonight to say, I want God in my life, when you pray that prayer, put me in without any hesitation. That you hold your hand up as high as you can. Come on, hold it up as high as you can. I want to see all those hands. Keep them up. Keep them up because I'm going to count them. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Keep them up high. Listen, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. Keep them up. 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49. Keep them up, balcony, so I can see it. 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65. Keep them up. 66. Anybody else? Yes, gotcha. 67. You can put your hands down. Can we thank God for what he has done tonight? Come on, stand with me. Stand with me. You just swiped the card tonight. You said, I got the gift. Forgiveness. And here's the good news. Batteries included. You get the power tonight. Come on, pray this with me, everybody out loud. Say these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell for me, so I wouldn't have to go. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. Now let's say this loud. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen and amen. Wow. I think I just saw seven hands in the attic. So yes, thank you. So thank God for those 69 hands that went up tonight. We give God all the glory for that. Hey, we want to get ready for one more song, but before we do that, let me just let you know this. If you made that decision tonight online, just go ahead and you can begin to email decided@tsc.nyc. And if you're in person, one of those 69 hands, just text the word decided to 51,000. And all we're gonna do is begin just to help you on your journey. That's all it is. We'll send you a couple videos and just to remind you, this is how you grow in God. That's all it is. It's just a growth, about 2 or 3 minute videos just to say, here's how you grow in God. God is good, amen?